Good morning. As you know, we are beginning the church season of Lent today. The time when we meditate on and consider the causes, our sins, and the consequences, our justification, of Christ's suffering and death on the cross. Lent, like Advent, is a time of preparation to more fully appreciate both the causes and consequences of Christ's sufferings. We pray, Lord, draw near to us through thy word. Amen. Preparation. Well, how do we prepare for Lent? We're using Matthew chapter 6 today as our reading. And right after the Jesus talks about praying in secret, and he gives us the Lord's Prayer, and then grants Christians the keys, he follows with verses 16 to 21. And whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance in order to be seen fasting by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not be seen fasting by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Perhaps the most frequently asked question by Christians outside of our church is, what's the difference between the Lutheran faith and what my church teaches? After all, we both believe in Jesus. There is a basic difference, underlying difference that goes all the way back to our forefathers. The two groups, one you might say was led by Martin Luther and another by John Calvin. And Luther put his finger on the difference when he said, "You have a different spirit." The real difference is a crucial and a very crucial difference in emphasis. Our emphasis is now, and always has been, on the objective facts of what Christ has done for us. Therefore, we emphasize justification above all else. For that's what the gospel is really all about. The gospel talks only of what God the Father in Jesus Christ has done for us. It tells how God sent his only Son to suffer the penalty for all sins. And now because of that sacrifice, has justified the whole world. He has declared the world not guilty of sin because Jesus has paid the penalty. Now once that Holy Spirit works in the heart of man and he comes to trust in this gospel, his life changes. And he lives a life of sanctification. Sure, we do our schoolwork. We do our duties daily in the office. We follow the rules. We clean our rooms. We cooperate when suggestions are made. We take care of our book bags. We do all that sort of stuff naturally, because it's part of our sanctification. Jesus has worked in our hearts. And yet, even when we look at these things, we dare never look at it as our personal lives that give us our hope and our comfort. We do things that look good, but we're not going to look to them to give us our hope and our comfort. It's not what we give up for Lent, It's not what we do for Lent. No, and it's not the dot on the forehead that we're going to see. It's not how good we are or what we do. However, while we stress that gospel of God's justification, the facts of what God has done for us, most other Reformed churches stress almost exclusively man's reaction and what man must do. We sometimes have to look long and hard into their theology to find the pure, sweet gospel. And when you hear it, it's often used as a whip to stir up action and see some fruits of faith among the members, to see something outwardly happening. What it all boils down to is the fact that many no longer base their confidence on the objective truths and the promises of God in His Word, but rather on whether or not their lives and their actions somehow or other prove that God is dwelling and working in them. But that's not new. That's what our text was all about. That's what our reading was about. We see that in our text that there was an outward appearance to show that they were penitent. And still today, church folks, what we call church folks, are not so concerned about what you believe, but rather how you act and what you do, which of course is the things that you can see. It's outward. And that's why Jesus directs us to an internal faith. A faith that is between you and your God and is not lived out there as a parade for mankind. And this is how our commemoration of Lent fits in. Many churches today have the mistaken notion that preparation depends on your own personal appearance, on your conduct, on your inner feeling. Almost lost is that beautiful gospel itself. We are almost too busy looking at ourselves to look to Christ Jesus, which is really the reason for this Lenten season. Lent should not primarily be a time for self-evaluation, but a time to think over, to consider again, and to remember, especially for a season, the greatest gift mankind has ever given, the gift of life in Christ Jesus. We also bring to mind at this time what it cost Jesus to earn life eternal for us. For many, it's not enough that God is present in the Word and in the sacraments, that as He comes and speaks to us in the Word and in the sacraments, because you can't see that. Many become impatient and want to see God in man, or at least see God somehow working in man. Only then would they be convinced that God was among them and with them, supporting them. They must see something outward. Like everything else in today's society, they want a quick fix. The law seems to get results more quickly. So maybe a good application of the law will whip us into some sort of a frenzy. Maybe if we insult people enough, or maybe if we threaten them a little bit, maybe they'll give a little more money, or maybe they'll do a few more outwardly good deeds. Now, the outward results usually come, but they're superficial. And maybe this is why Jesus gives us the second half of the text. Jesus reminds us that these things, these outward things, are the treasures that we lay up on earth, and they will be destroyed or stolen. However, the treasures that we lay up in heaven will be safe. And since a thief cannot break in and steal them, because God Himself protects them. And then we get this wonderful reminder from Jesus that where your treasure is, there is where your heart will be. If your treasure is on earth, your heart will be on earth. And if your treasure is in heaven, your heart will be in heaven. So make your preparations. Look away from yourself and look only to your treasure, Jesus Christ. And all the needed things will be added to you. After all, that's what everything is all about. And not just during Lent, but always, it's all about your Savior, Jesus Christ. We close with hymn number 348, stanzas 1 through 3. 348.